Amen. You know, most people, when they preach on Galatians 2, they just shoot straight to verse 20, the most well-known verse in the chapter. And it's a great verse, don't get me wrong. And we will touch on it today, but as you know, it's very important that we get context. Amen? And that if we're going to preach a passage, we preach the whole passage. Now, the book of Galatians is about the law versus faith. That is the theme of Galatians. The Judaizers had come in and told the Christians at Galatia, if you're saved, that's great, but that's not enough. You got to keep the law. And they, of course, were new Christians. They didn't know if they were being told the truth, and they asked Paul, and he wrote this epistle to correct that wrong teaching. The word law is in the book of Galatians 32 times, and it's not a big book. The word faith is in here 22 times, and those are the two most common occurring words in the book of Galatians. This passage is about that same theme. And yes, we are crucified with Christ, and we're going to talk about what that means. But in this passage, verses 16 to 21, Paul is contrasting the law and faith. 2,000 years later, most of the world still believes that they can earn heaven. So things haven't changed much, have they? You talk to the average person and ask them, do you believe you're going to heaven? Most people will say, well, I hope so. But if you ask them why, they'll say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've kept the Ten Commandments. I've not murdered anybody. I've been a decent neighbor. And it's all about what I've done. And as you all know, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to get you to heaven, as we're going to see. So we'll begin at verse 16 down to verse 21 and get a handle on this great truth of Galatians. Paul says in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now there's a phrase that occurs three times in this passage, and it only occurs in this passage. And it's the phrase, by the faith. So that's our title today, by the faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you use your word to teach us. Lord, to speak to our hearts. May we open our hearts, and may the Holy Spirit work miracles in them through your powerful word. But Lord, may we get a handle on how important it is that we die to self and that we live the faith of Jesus Christ. Lord, for someone in our service not born again, may they realize how important it is that they are saved. They are justified by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. So we give it all to you. May you be glorified in this service. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'll see this word justified a lot. You'll see the word law a lot. You'll see the word faith. And that's what Galatians is all about. But notice he says in verse 16, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith. There's that phrase that only occurs in this passage. By the faith of Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to get to heaven is by the faith of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Paul's saying you can only be justified, not by the works of the law. He's contrasting here. You can only be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. There it is again. You can only be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then he says it again, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now that word justified, it's really not a complicated word. Some people have tried to define it just as if I'd never sinned. And that's pretty accurate. But what it is God doesn't only forgive us. That's the negative side of salvation, if you will, is he takes our sins and forgives them. But the positive side is then he declares us just, which is amazing. He actually declares us completely sinless and just through Jesus. We become part of Jesus, and God imparts to us his righteousness, which is why when we stand before God, we will be allowed into heaven, because sin isn't allowed into heaven, but because we are justified, we will be allowed in. That's not because we did anything, is it? It's because of what Jesus did. He paid for our sins so that that payment might be applied to us, and that forgiveness of sin is taken care of, but then God takes Jesus' righteousness, which is a miracle. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are actually made righteous through Jesus. And that is the beautiful doctrine of justification. But you probably notice in this verse, he interchanges the word believe and faith many times because they are the same thing. And I'd like to add another word to the mix if you go to Ephesians 1, and that is the word trust. And trust and believe and faith are all the same thing. And I'll show you that here in Ephesians 1, verse 12. Paul says here that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice how he interchanges the word believe and trust. You know why? Because they are the same thing. So believing information about Jesus is not what saves us from hell. A lot of people think it might be, but it isn't. You know, James 2:19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe in Jesus, in his person, in his existence. But the difference is they're not trusting him for their salvation. They're not believing on Christ. Jesus said, John 6:47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. We must place our faith in him. We must trust him for our eternal destiny. So again, just believing a bunch of information about Jesus, there's plenty of people out there that do. They believe he was real. They believe he walked the earth. They believe he worked miracles. They believe he died on the cross and rose again. But believing information isn't salvation. It's when we believe on Christ. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 16 of Galatians 2, that we place our faith, the faith of Christ. We must place our faith in him for salvation. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at Galatians 3:22. We'll see yet again, this is the theme of Galatians all through. But notice chapter 3, verse 22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Again, notice he's interchanging believe and faith. And says that everybody is a sinner. He's concluded all under sin. So we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is justification by the faith of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And if you're here this morning and you are not born again, you're not sure you're going to heaven, Jesus died for you, he loves you, God became a man that the perfect man might die as your substitute. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to show he conquered death. And through all of that, he offers you eternal life as a gift. But you must acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you deserve to go to hell, and ask for what Jesus did for you to be applied to your account. That's placing your faith in Christ. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. And if you will do that, God will save you. And I hope you will do that even today. So Paul then takes this great truth by the faith, and then he moves from what we'll call the doctrinal over to the experiential in verse 17 of Galatians 2. Because, yes, we're justified, hallelujah, and from a doctrinal point of view, God looks at us and he sees Jesus, amen? He sees a sinless person. And that has to do with our eternal destiny and whether or not we'll be allowed into heaven. But between now and when we leave this earth, we still sin. So what do we do about that? How do we reconcile that, the fact that we're sinless doctrinally through Christ, and yet we still sin every day? How do we put those two together? And the answer Paul gives us, he says, while we seek to be justified by Christ, if we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He's saying, if we still sin, what does that mean? Does that negate salvation? Does that mean that God is all about sin? No. And this is the number one argument, by the way, that the world gives against eternal security, isn't it? When you explain to them, no, once you're born again, you're secure in Christ because it all has to do with Jesus. It doesn't have to do with us. Their first thing is always, but that just gives you a license to sin. You can just go do whatever you want. You'll still go to heaven. And they're not recognizing that, well, now we're a child of God. And if we choose to go off and do whatever we want, God will chastise us as a good father. And so they don't understand the difference between a relationship and fellowship. The relationship is secure. Amen? Amen? We are the children of God. We just read that in Galatians 3:22. We are God's children now. When we sin, God doesn't then say, well, you're not my child anymore. And then if we get it right, oh, now you're my child again. And, oh, you're not my child anymore. It doesn't work that way. Once you're his child, you're his child. But that fellowship may not be sweet when you're living in sin, because sin hinders that fellowship. It doesn't hinder the relationship. That's sealed and settled. We're justified. It does hinder the fellowship. But a lot of people have trouble reconciling those two things. And Paul in Galatians, in 1 John, and other places, he tries to explain the doctrinal versus the experiential. And that's what he's trying to do here. So he's saying in verse 18, if I build the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, I'm basically being an idiot. I've been saved from hell. God has given me everything. I'm going to heaven. I'm a child of God. Why would I then go out and act like the devil again? So he says, verse 19, I through the law am dead to the law. How is that? Because Jesus did away with the law. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 2 quickly and we'll see this. And again, another thing even Christians have a hard time reconciling is that the law is nailed to the cross. The whole thing. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What? What was nailed to the cross? The law. The whole thing. Now, you and I have a new law, don't we? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We did a study on the commandments recently and found out, whoa, there's a lot of them. Jesus gave us a lot of commandments that we're to follow because we love him, because we're his child. Not to earn heaven. That's done. Heaven was a gift, but to please our new Father. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm dead to the law. The law's gone. So that I might live unto God. And so he says there in verse 20 of Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the, what? By the faith. So there's that phrase again. We saw it twice in verse 16, that we're saved by the faith. But now Paul's saying that we need to live by the faith. Two totally different things. And verse 20 really lays it out for us, doesn't it? So he's saying there in verse the beginning part, I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, Now that I am a child of God, now that I have, by the faith, been justified, the old man is crucified. He's dead. You know, Christians, it's quite a paradox, really, that before we get saved, the old man is alive and the spiritual man is dead. And after we get saved, now the spiritual man has been quickened by the Holy Spirit and is alive, but the old man's dead. And so we're dead and alive both at the same time, before and after salvation. Figure that one out. It's complicated, isn't it? Like we sing when we do happy birthday. You got to have two birthdays to get to heaven. Amen? Your physical and your spiritual. That's why Jesus calls it being born again. But what Paul is saying is, on a practical note, I'm crucified with Christ. That old man has been nailed to the cross as well. Because when I got saved, I was put into Christ. And when he died, I died. And when he rose again, I rose again. So I'm crucified with him. And yes, God does it in reverse. 2,000 years ago it happened, but we're in Christ now, right? Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. We're flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. We are in Christ. And so when he died, we died. And Paul is saying, we now need to live what is already doctrinally true. And guess what? That's a struggle. It's a battle. But it's all about reckoning it to be true. Look at Romans chapter 6 and we'll see this. It's all about learning to live what is already true. And the devil does not want this. So he's going to resist it. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead. Now it's already true. Paul is saying, reckon it to be true. That's what he means. When he says, I'm crucified with Christ, reckon it to be so. Learn to live a life that's crucified, that the old man is dead. Stop listening to him, stop feeding him. Just acknowledge, reckon it to be true that he is dead. Stop. You know, yeah, you got to drag him around until we leave this earth, but stop listening to him. Because he's only going to lead you astray, and he's already dead. So stop listening to a dead man. That's what Paul is teaching. And yet we do it every day, don't we? The dead man says, I'm too tired to pray. The dead man says, I don't feel like going to church this week. He says, I want more. I want you to please the flesh more. You're not pleasing the flesh enough. We say, okay, dead man, whatever you want. That's what we do, isn't it? That's what the devil wants us to do. But if you look at Galatians 5:24, Paul again, he's talking about having the victory, which means living what is already true. So we're justified by the faith, but we need to live by the faith. Look at Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's, so here he's obviously talking about Christians. They that are Christ's have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Because that's what the old man wants more than anything, isn't it? Affections and lusts. He says, they that are Christ's have reckoned it to be true that he's dead, and they've crucified that old man and said, nah, I'm not listening to you anymore. Leave me alone. And by the way, you can't just do that once. You pretty much got to do it every day. Pretty much every hour. Because he never quits. He never quits rearing up his head. Another one, look at Galatians 6 this time, verse 14. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He's talking about the old man. He says, the old man, all he wants is the world. Right? But he says, he's crucified. So stop listening to him. Colossians 3:3 says, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So Paul here is giving us really one of the keys to the victorious Christian life, and that is we need to live what is already true. Yes, you have been justified by the faith if you're a born-again Christian. Now you need to live by the faith. And the only way you can live by the faith is first you have to die. And that's why he starts the verse off, "I'm crucified with Christ." Now look at the rest of the verse, verse 20 of Galatians 2. "Nevertheless, I live." Hold on, he just said we're dead. Then he says, "Nevertheless, I live." Yes, you were given life when you got saved. You were given eternal life. The Holy Spirit quickened you. And your small s spirit was given life. It was dead before. Now it's alive. He says, "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Oh, now he's starting to teach us one of the keys to the Christian life is we need to not only reckon the old man to be dead, but the new man, the new alive man. It's not about us doing it. It's about Jesus doing it. In other words, we need to yield to him and let Jesus live that new life through us. That is one of the keys to living the Christian life. Look at Philippians 2:13, where Paul talks again about it. How it's about letting Jesus live his life through us. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." To will and to do. In other words, God wants to live the Christian life through you. But he gave us a free will. And we have to let him do that. We have to allow him to do that by dying to self and yielding to the Holy Spirit of God so that God can then what? Do and will his good pleasure. Jesus wants to live the Christian life through us. But we have to let him. And that's what Paul is saying. Christ liveth in me. In the person of the Holy Ghost, he has indwelt us. We are his temple. Verse 20 again, "In the life which I now live," there's that word "live" again, "in the flesh I live," what? "By the faith." So it takes faith to get justified. It takes faith to get saved, born again. Right? It takes faith to believe that, yes, Jesus did die for me, and he was God, and he rose again for me, and he died for my sins, and that God is real, and that God loves me. That's all faith, isn't it? We don't see God, we don't see Jesus. By faith, we believe this to be true. But he says, now we need to also live by the faith. In other words, we also need to keep going forward by faith. But now it's the faith that we need to live by, again, letting God live through us. How many times do we read in the scriptures, "The just shall live by faith"? It doesn't say the lost shall live by faith. It says the just. We already talked about justification. The just shall live by faith. And so it's an act of faith to crucify the old man and let Jesus live his life through us. It takes faith to believe that he can and will do it if we will allow him to. Galatians 5:16, turn over there if you would. "This I say then," this is again one of those victorious verses, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Wow, that sounds simple, doesn't it? Too bad it isn't. I can do all things, what? Philippians 4:13, "through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So Paul here is now showing us that we're justified by the faith and we need to live by the faith. And it's not that the power isn't available. How much power does the Holy Ghost have? Infinite. It's whether or not we're willing to let him do it. That's the key. To acknowledge the old man, he's dead, stop listening to him. Yeah, you got to drag him around. It'd be nice if we could just cut that chain, but we can't cut it until we leave. And then let him live through us. Who? Verse 20, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus showed his love to the world like no one ever has because he was willing to die for us. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're told in Ephesians 5:25. He loved me and he gave himself for me. So then Paul wraps it up here in verse 21, Galatians 2. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How can you frustrate the grace of God? Well, by believing that you can somehow earn the righteousness of God through works. Right? That's what it says. For righteousness come by the law. Look at this last statement. Christ is dead in vain. If you can earn heaven, then why did Jesus need to die? And when you witness to somebody, you can ask that very question. Why did Jesus need to die on the cross if we can somehow earn heaven? Doesn't make any sense. But we can't earn heaven because we're sinners. Therefore, Jesus did have to die as our substitute and so forth. So Paul says, I'm not going to frustrate God's grace by ever believing that I can earn anything, heaven or anything, outside of Jesus working through me, first by saving me by the faith, justifying me, and then by living by the faith. See, a lot of Christians, if you go to Ephesians 1:6, a lot of Christians get confused and they think, okay, I'm a Christian now. I need to earn God's favor. I need to make God like me. Listen, that's already done. Look at Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You don't have to earn God's grace. You don't have to earn God's favor. You don't have to try to get God to like you. God loves you. God loves you infinitely. So we're not to go out there and say, well, I'm going to do a lot of good works for Jesus so he'll think I'm a better Christian, or so he'll think I'm better Christian than this guy, or so he'll think I'm a really special Christian. No, he's already accepted you. You're already 100% acceptable in his sight. You don't go out to try to earn any of that. You go out there because you love him. Because you want to do it out of love. Not to try to earn a pat on the back or whatever. Like this says in Matthew 6, you've earned a reward if that's your motive. No, you serve Jesus by the faith. The same faith that saved you, now you need to live it. Crucify the old man and let Jesus live his life through you so that when you get to heaven, you're not going to stand up and say, oh, Lord, you should be really proud of me. I did this and this and this and this. And you know what God's going to say? You didn't do anything. I did it. You see? Anything that we accomplish for the cause of Christ, Christ did it through us. That's why he lives in us. So stop going around thinking that you can somehow earn anything from God. That you're just frustrating the grace of God when you do that. And realize that anything that you do for the cause of Christ, Christ did it. I can do all things, through the force? Through my amazing power? No, through Christ. It's only through Jesus. So, what a beautiful passage. We are justified by the faith, and we need to live by the faith. And that is, again, it's not easy. It's a battle. It's a battle that never ends. But it's a battle that God can always win if we will let him. And that really is one of the keys to the Christian life. God wants to live a victorious life through you. But you've got to crucify that old man, stop listening to him. And you've got to yield to the Holy Spirit and let him do it through you. And he will. And then when you get to heaven, all you're going to do is fall down on your face. And out of complete gratitude that God would even allow us to be there. You're not going to do any boasting. Amen? There just won't be any. There will only be complete gratitude that God allowed us to be there. And if he chooses to reward us for a few works we did in his name, well, praise God, that's wonderful. But that's not why we did it, is it? Don't frustrate the grace of God. So we must be justified by the faith, and we must live by the faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now for any in our service that have not yet been justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I pray that they'll realize how much you love them, that you showed that love, and Lord, that they would be willing even today to come forward as we sing a song later and just say, I want to make sure I'm saved. And let someone take God's word, the Bible, and just walk them through the gospel and show them step by step how they can know today they are justified. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we stop trying to do anything in our own strength and realize it's impossible. Crucify that old man and let Jesus live his life through us, so that we might grow and live and honor you by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn to do this every day, not just once. So have your will and way in our hearts as we contemplate these great truths in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.